I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. In today's program, Tom continues his visit with Dave James as they discuss the abusing of prophecy, part two. And now, here's Tom.
Thanks, Gary. This week, we're in part two of a conversation that deals with false prophecy. My guest for this discussion is Dave James, who is the author of The Harbinger, Fact or Fiction, and Biblical Guide to the Shemitah and the Blood Moons. His ministry is the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. And we have been talking about false prophecy, false prophets, the consequences of people buying into things that are out there without checking it out with Scripture, without being Bereans. And it's a great concern of ours. So, Dave, welcome back to Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Thanks, Tom. It was great to be with you last week, and I'm looking forward to today's discussion as well.
Yeah, now we set up last week the situation related to particularly Jonathan Cahn and his books. You gave summaries of what you had written critically about those books, but we were really working our way toward Jonathan Cahn's latest book, which is called The Paradigm. And Dave, just could you give us a summary of what that book's about and why we're concerned about it?
Sure. Well, in contrast to The Harbinger, which was a novel, a work of fiction, The Paradigm lays itself out as a work of nonfiction. And in contrast to The Harbinger, which was about Isaiah, focusing in on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, which was a warning of judgment against the northern kingdom of Israel in face of the impending attack by the Assyrian army, The Paradigm goes to a different point in the northern kingdom's history, focusing on several aspects. One, the part that took up the most time in The Paradigm has to do with the northern king Ahab and his wife and queen Jezebel. And the premise of The Paradigm is that Ahab's counterpart in modern history was Bill Clinton, and his wife, Jezebel, her modern counterpart is Hillary Clinton, and the idea being that these were two of the most wicked rulers in the North, a king and a queen, Ahab and Jezebel, and they actually were parallel, not just parallel, but we're talking about straight line connections between Bill and Hillary Clinton. And the idea was that if you had, in fact, Jonathan Cahn said this, had you recognized this paradigm that he calls a template, an almost 3,000-year-old template, you could have actually noted the very years, in some cases the very day, and in one instance the very hour of when things would transpire in modern history on American soil with Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Then he moves on to other kings and other rulers and other people involved in the history of ancient Israel, including Osama bin Laden, the capture and the killing of Osama bin Laden, the appearance of Barack Obama on the scene, and even the election of Donald Trump to the presidency of the United States. So he makes all of these direct line connections and saying that they were so predictive and so precise. As I said, you could see the characters and see the days, even the months and the days, in some cases, even the hours when things would happen in modern history.
So thinking about the promotions of the book, and you've been through some of the interviews, but just looking at how this book is advertised and promoted, you know, they say, this is incredible stuff. You know, you can know this, you can know that, you can know. Dave, as we talked about last week, and we need to reiterate it today, the Bible does not address the USA, certainly in detail. There are some vague references to a nation, which we talked about last week, or the nations, the Gentiles. But certainly there is no way any kind of details that can be found in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, it's kind of funny. I tend to watch Fox News a lot, and I watch the, you know, Fox Business Channel as well. And what is, it kind of falls into the same category. If the stock market goes up 500 points in a day, they always have a canned reason why it went up 500 points. Or if it goes down 500 points, they have a canned reason. It doesn't matter which way it goes, they always have an explanation for it. And you have the same thing happening with Jonathan Cahn. No matter what happens in American history now that he is this revealer of mysteries, and he is has been lauded by many people, dozens of people, as America's Jewish prophet in the modern world, it doesn't matter what happens, he can find a biblical connection. And when he thinks he can find something that fits exactly, he'll draw that line. But when there's a breakdown and there's a vast departure from what the scriptures, what happened in scripture is recorded in scripture in ancient history, 2,500, 3,000 years ago, it's simply ignored. So it's the most radical case of cherry picking that you could possibly imagine. If something fits, he grabs it. If it doesn't fit, he ignores it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really a shame that so many people are buying into this.
Yeah. Now, last week we talked about prophecy, the value of prophecy, how important it is, and so on. And we talked about false prophecy and false prophets. And one of the points that we made last week was that if you abuse Scripture with regard to prophecy, the way you use it, and it's wrong, it's not consistent with the prophecy in the Scripture, the way it's laid out, then you are a false prophet. I don't know how you can get around that. And as we've been saying, if these are all these things are not in the Scripture, but are in the mind of Jonathan Cahn, he should be held accountable for that, because these things are not true to the Scriptures. Now, it's like me, you know, as you called it, cherry picking. The point being is that if I pick something and I say, well, Hillary Clinton might say she reminds me of the character of Jezebel because of this and that. Well, that's an opinion. That's a perspective. If I say that Ahab, you know, maybe in character like this American leader or so on, well, that's my opinion. It has nothing to do with exact biblical prophecy. And prophecy, according to Scripture, it's God's telling forth what will take place. And we know all the things that God lays out in that way, they come about with 100% accuracy. That's why we trust prophecy as the best apologetic for proving that God's word is just that. But if I have these opinions of men and all of these different ideas, and I'm putting stock in them, I've just undermined the accuracy of the Bible. And it is incredibly, perfectly accurate, right?
Well, yes, that's exactly right. And if you look at the Old Testament standards for someone who is a prophet of God versus a false prophet, there are several tests that God put into place, and one of them had to do with handling the word of God correctly. If they tell you things that, in other words, if somebody says God has said something he hasn't said, or that God hasn't said something that he has said, then you mark them as a false prophet. Even somebody who is able to do signs and wonders. In Deuteronomy, God makes it very clear that the signs and wonders, the ability to do miracles, is not the ultimate test. The ultimate test is handling, teaching, relaying the word of God accurately. If somebody in the Old Testament, let's say that 999 times out of 1,000, they got it right simply because they were good guessers or they knew human nature or whatever. You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. There are things that repeat, and you and I can say to one of our kids, for example, if you do this, I can promise you this is going to happen. That doesn't make us a prophet. But the point is this, if somebody got it right 999 times out of 1,000, but one time, even one time, they got it wrong, you would end up dead according to the law of Moses, because there was no room for somebody to miss even one prophecy. And yet we have guys today like Jonathan Cahn and those who are actually helping and promoting him who get things wrong consistently. In fact, you can even find it in writing where people like John Wimber would say, if somebody today, a prophet today, gets it right 50% of the time, he's a good prophet. Well, in the scriptures, that would cost you your life. Mm-hmm. And so this is serious business.
Right. And why is it serious? Because a false prophet turns God into a liar. That is, if you believe the false prophet, and doesn't, you know, it's going to go past that guy back to God. And as I said, prophecy, the value of prophecy is so critically important. It is the best apologetic that we can have to prove that God's word is God's word. In Isaiah, over and over again, he says, test me in this. I'm the only one that knows the future. You know, there are people that make guesses at it and so on and try to make things come about. Only God knows the future. And that future is laid out in his communication to us, his foretelling us what events are going to take place. So, you know, it's not a small problem, folks. And we've talked about, you mentioned last week, Dave, some of the consequences when people buy into false prophecy to the point of suicides, to the point of losing everything, selling their land. I mean, all of these consequences, the destructive consequences of false prophecy, yet, you know, we have seen with Jonathan Cahn's books, whether it be The Harbinger, The Shemitah, and these things where things are, okay, predicted. You can't get away from that, where things are going, you know, he might say, well, I think this is going to take place. No, the promotions of his book and the advertisements behind it make it something that people buy into, and their consequences can be destructive and really tragic. Now, Dave, the details, which we find given in the Paradigm, Jonathan Cahn's latest book. Those details, it talks about the dates are given, the rise and fall of leaders and governments and so on. People are just kind of nodding their head. Yeah, that's exciting. That's what's going on. What's the problem with that?
Well, for one thing, I think that they have figured out a formula. This would include Jonathan Cahn. This would include his publisher, Charisma Media, which is, by the way, the largest purveyor of heretical material of our generation, I would say.
Without a doubt.
Those who have him on their programs, whether it be Sid Roth or Jim Baker, they're promoting this, and they have figured out a formula, and I call it, and I think maybe you've called it this as well, the wow factor. Mm-hmm. You can dazzle people with the wow factor, and when you hit on a couple of things where people go, wow, that has to be beyond coincidence, God must be involved, you've caught them. And in fact, in my book, when I responded to The Harbinger, in my book, The Harbinger Factor Fiction, I used two illustrations from history. There was a book that came out prior to the sinking of the Titanic, and the parallels in this novel were stunningly close to what actually happened a couple decades later, with the sinking of the Titanic. And then people have also pointed out to the parallels between Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. And if you read these things, you would think, wow, this is amazing. But they don't tell you the things where there was no match. And so this wow factor causes people to honestly, they check their brains at the door. And the other thing that I think is so important in this whole issue is when I teach my students, I tell them it's not just that I'm teaching you the material. I'm teaching you both how to teach the material, the biblical material, and I'm also teaching you a method of biblical interpretation. And so when Jonathan Cahn and others start drawing these parallels and saying, this is the way you handle and interpret the Word of God, they're teaching a method of interpretation. And so this actually multiplies this false prophecy and false teacher factor, because you're actually engaging a whole generation of people to change the way they're actually understanding the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And some, they're not even thinking that way, Dave. They're just saying, oh, wait a minute. Wow, that's going to happen. I better do something about it. Now, I want to go back to Jonathan Cahn's book, dealing with the Shemitah, and then his alignment with Mark Biltz with the Blood Moons. There was supposed to be a catastrophic event economically that was going to take place. I mean, you can't get away from their implying that. WorldNet Daily jumped on it. Joseph Farah. I mean, there were many people. And the outcome was fear-mongering. People reacted, even though, again, Jonathan Gunn may say, no, I didn't say that exactly. I didn't predict that. No. The implication from all the advertising, from all of these different media places, it was fear-mongering, you know, selling freeze-dried food, selling lands, doing all these kinds of things that turned out to be absolutely tragic, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And the person who has facilitated this the most would be Jim Baker with his Morningside ministry there in Missouri, which is really just a Heritage USA 2.0, where he's bilking people out of money, selling. Here's the way I put it. Because he believes in a post-tribulational rapture, meaning that he believes that the church now, his theology actually changed, he believes now that the church is going to go through the tribulation, the God's tremendous, horrific judgments upon the earth, such that by the end, 50% of the world's population is going to be dead. The world's going to be uninhabitable, essentially. All the water, fresh and salt, is going to turn to blood. The green plants are going to be burned up. It will be a complete breakdown of the food chain from the microscopic to the macroscopic level. And he's sitting on his desk as he's interviewing men like Jonathan Kahn and others. These guys ultimately, I mean, this is going to sound harsh, but they end up becoming useful idiots and props that he's using to sell these products to people who think somehow they're going to survive the tribulation. So you've got people who are buying these things for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I don't know about you, but if I were to try to go through the tribulation, I'd just as soon die. Would anybody want to try to survive what's coming? And so, again, we're concerned about the what, but these things are serious problems.
Dave, let me back up a little on that, because number one, if the tribulation, as we read it in Revelation, as horrendous as it's going to be, God pouring out his wrath, so freeze-dried food's going to help me get through it? Or, in other words, they're really bilking believers or those who believe in what they're saying and not checking it out by the scripture. They're taking their money left and right and selling this product, which, I mean, even if it was the case, I mean, talk about a bad joke. It was so short-term, it's going to last 7 years. So, again, this is fear-mongering. This is greed. This is taking advantage of people. And it also, for those who he's interviewing, whether it be Jim Baker interviewing Jonathan Kahn or Mark Biltz, what's going on here is that he's selling their books. So there is a definitely on the part of the authors, they're allowing these things, that, you know, even if they have a right heart and being sincere about this, it's still all about the filthy lucre. It's all about money. So that's a great concern. And our heart is we want our listeners, we want everybody to be Bereans, to check these things out. Caveat emptor, the buyer beware. That's what they need to do. Now, Dave, we just got about 5 minutes left. What I want you to do is now you have the opportunity. You're not only on radio with Jimmy DeYoung, but you have an international teaching program, whether it be Hungary, whether it be, I think you're heading up to Canada soon as we're recording this. You're in the Philippines. What do you tell people regarding how to protect themselves? You know, Jesus said, characterizing our time, I believe it's our time, take heed that no man deceive you. And we're seeing deception promoted like, well, you know, I've been a believer for 40 years, and the deception is exponential compared to when I became a believer. So what do you tell people? How do they keep themselves from being deceived by false prophecy and false prophets?
Well, I think the most important thing that we do is we learn a consistently biblical method of interpretation. And we keep using the term literal, grammatical, historical, meaning that literal, meaning the text has an objective meaning. It's not subjective. It's not subject to change. And the texts of the Bible have a singular meaning. And we look to figure out, first of all, what the original author intended to say. Secondly, how it was understood by the original audience, and then we try to bridge the gap between our mind in our day and the mind of the original author. And, you know, one of the big mistakes in Bible interpretation today, and I guess it's probably always been a problem, but frequently you'll hear people say, well, what does this text mean to you? What does this passage mean to you? And actually, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what I think it means. What I try to find out is what it means to God. And once I figure out what it means to God, then I can apply it correctly in my life. And so I do that by looking at the grammatical context, the context of the text itself, and see what the passages before and after say. And I don't just pull a single verse out of context and try to apply it to a particular situation. I understand it the way the original author wrote it. And then I look and understand that there's an historical context. And if I could put all those things together, I could understand exactly what that author meant and what God is communicating through that. And then when I teach around the world, as you mentioned, I try to model this in every class I teach. As I said before, I'm not just teaching the material. I'm teaching people how to teach the material and how to interpret the material. I think one of my biggest challenges, but also my biggest opportunity, is to equip young people, the next generation of leaders until the Lord returns. My biggest opportunity and challenge is to teach them and show them and model how to handle the Word of God correctly, that we don't peddle the Word of God for profit, that we don't engage in sensationalism. The Bible is sensational enough if we understand it correctly. And so this is what I try to teach around the world everywhere I go.
Dave, that is so important. I've had opportunities, and our listeners will know that I have such a heart for this upcoming generation, and I know that we've not dealt with them correctly. You know, entertainment has overridden discipleship, Bible study, and so on. But, you know, Scripture says where evil abounds, grace doth more abound. So that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to inform and encourage young people who don't have a sense of eschatology, how the Bible says that God's timeline, how things are going to develop prior to the return of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Bible gives lots of information with regard to what will happen and what is going to happen. That's prophecy, and it will happen accurately, but we need to understand it. So as we've been saying, you know, throughout this broadcast, unless we're Bereans, Acts 17:11, unless we search the Scriptures daily to see if what we're hearing from out there, whether it be by Jonathan Kahn or any ministries that are promoting an idea, you know, we're accountable. We're responsible. We'll stand before the Lord with regard to how we received or understood the very things that He has laid out in His Word, which is prophecy. So, Dave, you got anything to add to that? We've just got less than a minute left.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, it's not just talking about Jonathan Kahn or Jim Baker or any of the other guys who may be involved with this. They have to be Berean with regard to what you and I say as well, what Jimmy DeYoung says, what any teacher, their pastor says. Everybody, you know, will never be held accountable for what somebody else says, but we will be held accountable for what we believe and what we teach others ourselves. So we need to come to the right conclusions, and we need to take Bible study seriously. You know, a lot of people read the Word of God, but I have to wonder how many Christians today are actually studying the Word of God to understand it correctly for themselves. And that's what I'm trying to do with what's left of my time here on this earth, to equip, like you said, this next generation.
The only thing I could add to that is not only studying the Word, but doing what it says, not by might nor by power, but by the enablement of God, by His Holy Spirit. So, Dave, again, my guest has been Dave James. His ministry is the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. And, Dave, it's been a pleasure. Certainly highly informative, and I hope our listeners come to that conclusion. So, Dave, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. It's always a joy and pleasure to be with you.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. please visit our website, thebereancall.org, to access our radio archives going back to 1999 and our newsletter going back to 1986. We offer daily updates by email or visit us on Facebook or Twitter. Are you looking for information about a specific topic? Go to thebereancall.org and click on Topics at the top of the page. Our online store is thebereancall.com. We offer a wide variety of books, tracks, CDs, and DVDs. Note that most of our e-books are free. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you can be back again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.